You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions this morning voted 12 to 11 to allow the full Senate to vote on Betsy DeVos as the nation's next Secretary of Education. Her qualifications to be the nation's top education official came under harsh criticism from Democrats through the nomination process. Here now to talk about DeVos and her recent Senate hearing is Gary Neyert. He's executive director of the Great Lakes Education Project. It's an organization founded and supported by DeVos and her husband. It works for greater support and expansion of charter schools. He spoke with Stateside's Lester Graham.
So I want to talk about the DeVos Senate hearing. Some of the Democrats on the Senate grilled Betsy DeVos and felt she either would not or could not answer their questions. I want to play a question from Senator Tim Kaine on accountability for public and private schools receiving federal money.
If confirmed, will you insist upon that equal accountability in any K-12 school or educational program that receives federal funding, whether public, public charter, or private?
I support accountability.
Equal accountability for all schools that receive federal funding.
I support accountability.
Okay, is that a yes or a no?
I support accountability.
Do you not want to answer my question?
I support accountability.
Okay, let me ask you this. I think all schools that receive taxpayer funding should be equally accountable. Do you agree with me or not?
Well, they don't. They're not today.
But I think they should. Do you agree with me or not?
Well, no, because...
You don't agree with me. Let me move to my next question.
All right, a little argumentative there. Gary Neyert, why shouldn't all schools receive federal money be equally accountable?
Well, I think that was an excellent exchange, except it illustrated Senator Kaine's desire to, you know, kind of harass Ms. DeVos a little bit. But what she was trying to get at is we really don't have uniform application of accountability today. What we have in Michigan, for example, is we have a higher level of accountability for charter public schools than we do traditional public schools. And when I say that, I mean in state law we have a statute that requires the mandatory closure of charter schools if they reach a certain level of poor performance. And there's no such provision for traditional public schools.
Well, so, I mean, we're talking about closing 38 public schools right now because...
Yes, we are. I'm saying that there is a statute that requires it for charters. And then the new DPS law that requires closure or restructuring, this is the very first instance where a traditional public school even has the chance of being closed because of poor academic performance. And that was a law that GLEP strongly pushed for because we want uniform application. So she was trying to have a discussion. Senator Kaine was not interested in an interchange. He was interested in a gotcha. And I think they're also looking to expand the discussion to non-public schools, which is just not a topic that they had really gotten into. So I don't think she was given a chance by many of the Democratic senators to try to explain her answers. That's unfortunate. But, you know, should there be uniform application of tough accountability? There should be. There hasn't been. And that's what we have pushed here in Michigan.
I want to note for our listeners, when Gary says GLEP, he means Great Lakes Education Project, the group he's with. Some of the senators were critical of Betsy DeVos because she's had no experience as an educator or an administrator in a school. How valid is that criticism?
The criticism is based on the fact that she's not part of the traditional education establishment and that she's an outsider from that perspective, something that President Trump has been interested in bringing into his cabinet. And we have had professional educators at the helm of American education policy for decades, and our scores continue to fall and our competitiveness continues to wane compared to our international competitors. So what we've had is a status quo kind of approach to education policy. And I think this president and this secretary designate who come from outside the norm are here to shake things up. That's a scary proposition for the historic defenders of the status quo, who I like to call the edublob.
Well, we require people to be qualified, have experience for far lesser roles than Secretary of Education. Where do you draw the line between having that proper background and just bringing in an outsider's perspective for the sake of being an outsider?
Well, we said outside the education establishment. She's been involved in education policy for 30 years. So to say she's not, you know, she's not from the traditional education pedigree in terms of her background, but she has been an education policy advocate for 30 years. She mentors students in Grand Rapids Public Schools on a weekly basis. She's been personally involved with a number of schools. So it's not to say she has no background. She has a different background. Now, there are 5,000 professionals that work in the U.S. Department of Education, and the secretary is the manager and leader of the department. She's not the teacher in chief. She's not the school superintendent in chief. And if you were a teacher or a board member of a school out there in Michigan, you should be very refreshed that Betsy DeVos is likely to be the secretary, because she's not going to reach out from Washington and micromanage how a district operates, how a building operates, or how a classroom operates. And that's going to be a refreshing change from the recent past.
There are some of these larger discussions that educators are aware of. I'll use, for example, the thing that Senator Al Franken brought up, and that was about growth versus proficiency, and there was some discussion about that. But it appeared that she didn't have a basic understanding of the difference between growth, the student's growth, or meeting proficiency. Are those kinds of things something a Secretary of Education should be aware of or needs to get briefed on?
Again, I think the interrogation by Senator Franken was more about scoring political points than it was having legitimate policy discussion. And I know from my personal experience—
Do you think that's a policy discussion that she should have with someone?
I think it is a policy discussion that is happening, that she has been engaged in. We have measured students by proficiency almost entirely for the last 150 years. And Michigan's top to bottom ranking up until 2 years ago was based 100% on proficiency, which serves as nothing more than a proxy for poverty, and it's a bad measure of school performance. We are moving as a state and as a country to balance proficiency and growth, and the bill that GLEP supports in Michigan for an A-to-F system for the last 4 years that Betsy supports balances proficiency and growth. She understands it. We understand it. Her national advocacy group that she founded, American Federation for Children, their model legislation on school accountability balances proficiency and growth. That is the nature of the current debate. She's not going to debate whether it should be 48% proficiency and 52% growth. That's what all the states are deciding, how to balance it. But what she was trying to get at was acknowledge that we do look at proficiency and growth, and that's proper today, but that her goal is to look past the current debate on proficiency and growth and move our entire system to a competency-based education system where students move through the process not based on age and grade, but on their content mastery per subject. And so if a student can finish what they need for a high school diploma in 9 years, so be it. If it takes 14 years, so be it. Most students will take 12 years. But what she wants to do is rewrite the educational playbook for America and get past this artificial kind of distinction of age and grade and what exactly you should learn by this date or this date or this date. That's where she wants to elevate the education discussion. She tried, perhaps inarticulately, to have that conversation with Senator Franken, and it didn't come off, obviously.
In a recent article from Politico magazine, it quotes both Dick and Betsy DeVos, who spoke at a meeting in 2001. They both indicated that there's no better way to rebuild families and communities than to have church and school and family much more tightly focused. And they said that this has been displaced by public schools. How much is that sentiment behind the efforts to get more kids and more state funding into private or charter schools?
I think that what the DeVoses have is a very strong, you know, religious faith, and I think that that is not something to be criticized. I think what we need in education broadly is more of an effort at increasing students' character development. I think there are many experts who would agree that we should focus on character development in our schools, especially given the demise of the discourse and the negativity that is occurring in society in general across the country. And do schools have a role in promoting character development for students? And I think what they would say is yes.
When you say character development, does that include religious training or?
Well, no, religious training is done best in the church, in the home, and in parochial schools.
Then what were they getting to about public schools getting in the way of Christianity, basically?
Well, I wasn't with the organization at the time, and I'm not even familiar with the speech that you're referring. So I don't know the context in which the comments were made, and I'm not
it
sure.
It was at an annual meeting called The Gathering.
Yeah, I believe – I mean, and I'm not sure, was it Betsy who said these things you're quoting or Dick? Because we certainly aren't going to, you know, attribute every comment that Dick DeVos might have made in the last
Well, they both spoke at The Gathering, so – let me ask you one question. It seems there's little doubt that Betsy DeVos will be confirmed. So what do you expect in the first year of her tenure as Secretary of Education?
Well, as the secretary, as an appointee of the president, she serves at the president's desires and wills and for his policy agenda. And there have been two very clear policy goals that President Trump has made public during the campaign. One is that he would like to expand the use of school choice, especially creating additional opportunities for poor and minority students who are at risk, who don't have the means to either pick up and move to the suburbs or pay for private school tuition. That's certainly a policy agenda that Betsy DeVos believes strongly in, so they're in alignment on that. So I think you're going to see efforts to expand public school choice in America. The second item that he talked about was reducing the federal footprint on education and doing everything we can to remove some of the strings and mandates from Washington and leave decision-making and power to the states and the local districts. That's something that not only does she believe in, but it was included in the passage of the new federal education law, ESSA or ESSA. And what we need to do is make sure that that law that goes into effect this year is implemented in a manner that's consistent with the Congress that passed it, which was to reduce the federal involvement, send decision-making and power back to the states. Some of the career bureaucrats who wrote the guidelines to implement the law weren't perhaps as true to that mission as the Congress that passed the law. So I think you're going to see some back and forth on some of the rules and the implementation of the rules. President Trump has already announced a 60-day pause in implementing some of these new guidelines so that they can be reviewed to make sure that they are, in fact, reducing the federal influence on education and putting that, again, back to the states. So I think those are the two biggest items, those are the two that he's talked about on the campaign trail. And if he has other key agenda items for education, we should be hearing about those in the next, I would say, 2 or 3 months.
That's Gary Narrett. He is the executive director of Great Lakes Education Project. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Lester.